How many emails should an automated sales sequence include? When someone joins your newsletter, what's the best way to introduce them to all of your archival content? And do you know the simplest way to turn a bi-weekly newsletter into a weekly one? Or how to create a newsletter that attracts course buyers? You're about to find out. Welcome to the I Want to Know podcast. Today's episode is a special one because I'm going to share with you something typically only my paid Skill Session members get to see. In case you don't know, my Skill Sessions membership is the simplest way to acquire the skills you need to grow your business. Each session is a one-hour video presentation featuring actions, templates, and strategies you can implement in minutes to help you better serve your audience, get clarity in your business, and boost your bottom line. As a Skill Sessions member, you also get to join monthly jam session coaching calls where you can get one-on-one help from me. You can ask any questions you have about what you're trying to figure out in your business, and I'll give you suggestions to solve those specific challenges. What you're about to hear in today's episode is four excerpts from a recent jam session with questions members asked me and my answers. If you'd like to be able to ask me questions like these about your business every month, go to joshspector.com/sessions to become a member. Now, let's get to the first question. Skill Sessions member Annie Kipp wanted my thoughts on her 17-email sales sequence and how to improve it. Here's my take. Oh, I am excited to talk to you. You're the 17-email lady, right?
I am.
Okay, so tell people your question because this is a fun one.
Okay, so I am creating an evergreen email newsletter, which means that everybody who signs up gets this 10-email sequence. It's daily. And this is the first entry into a sales funnel, basically, of selling my course, which is called the Brand Clarity Marketing Method. And I'm a business and strategy coach, but I'm really doing this to sell this course. And so it's 10 emails. The name of the newsletter is Brand Clarity. Mm-hmm. You're getting tips and strategies, secrets for how to talk about yourself and your business. This is the result that my research has told me my clients really want, is to feel more comfortable and confident talking about their work and themselves. They're just stuck and don't feel like they can do marketing. I work with business owners and entrepreneurs and leaders of companies, their own company. Anyway, so my plan that I would love your feedback on is I have these 10 valuable, they're formatted the same exact way every time. And then at the end of that, I'm going to say, hey, you've reached the end of season one of Brand Clarity newsletter. And I'm going to be sourcing new information for season two. But in the meantime, I'm going to share with you about a product I've been working on that may be a good fit for you. And I have mapped out the emails that I'm going to send, and those will be daily as well. Mm-hmm. They're more conversational, more fun, kind of like just sort of addressing objections, talking about the result, but talking about it in a really fun way that's easy and fun mm-hmm. to read. And they're getting more sort of tips and information in there as well. Anyway, it's a 2-week pop-up newsletter evergreen and then a 2-week sales sequence. And then I may start up season two right away, or I may leave some time in between and then do season two. So each of these 17 are really intentional, but yeah, I'd love your thoughts. Is that
cool? Yes. That's great. First of all, also, is this the first session you've been on? You're relatively new, right?
Yeah,
Yes. So welcome. I'm going to share my screen and I'm going to apologize in advance because I'm going to make you feel really bad, but I don't mean to. This is done with love.
Hit me. It's fine.
I go to your website. I hit the I Want Clarity button.
Shit. Oh, no.
So before we get to your 17 email sequence, you might want to look into that. And then also that, you know, whatever that page is gone, obviously, because all your buttons are going to an error.
Oh, my God. Wow. Thank you.
So, right. Okay. That has nothing to do with anything, but I thought you might want to know.
I am happy to be the example. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let me ask you a question. So when people sign up, they think they are signing up for, I should go back to your page because I read it before. But so they think, you know, Market Your Business, what do they think they're, because I couldn't see the landing page for them to actually enter their email. What do they think they're signing up for?
So by the way, I have it in the chat if you want to look at it, but I am working through the language of how to say this is a pop-up newsletter, mm-hmm. and they're getting simple, easy to read, quick to read strategies for okay. how to talk about themselves and their work.
Are they in your actual emails? How far into it do they have to get before you reference the product the first time?
I don't mention it for the first 10 emails.
Okay. Do you have enough people going through it? Do you get a sense of how well, like whether they stick, how many opt into the other? It's all kind of new.
I'm just starting it. Yeah. Okay. I just poured my list into it and I'm getting emails back that they're enjoying these.
Yep.
But yeah, I don't okay. have data yet.
So the first thing I would recommend is you don't have to do a hard sell, but anyone that signs up should be made aware that the product exists. Because okay. there will be, you don't, because otherwise you're drastically reducing. If they've signed up and given you your email address, even for a free thing, they're expressing some level of interest or at least curiosity.
Okay.
In your current setup, if they don't know a product exists until getting through 10 emails,
yeah,
you're going to lose a bunch of them. So okay. give them, you don't have to do a hard sell, and it can be in the welcome email. It can be a, by the way, it can also be, you know, a PS to some of these emails, but I don't think you want to make, you're setting a very high bar for people to even get to the point of finding out it exists. Doesn't mean you have to, go ahead. Yeah.
Is it enough to have it in the footer of my, because I think that it, that in the footer of each email, it says a little quick bio about me mm-hmm. and it says, you know, creator of the Brand Clarity Marketing Method.
So I think your ultimate goal with this, the reason you're doing this is to sell the course, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So your theory, which is correct, and I agree with, you're like, I'm going to give them a bunch of value, which is going to increase the likelihood that they want to buy the course. That said, it doesn't mean you can give value and still be quote unquote selling or referencing or building awareness of the course. It's not an either or.
Okay.
So I would actually argue that almost every one of your emails, the value emails up front.
Yeah.
But have a reference in the copy somewhere to the course as an okay. awareness. And what you can do is you can do it as almost a side note, right? So give me an example of like what one of the emails is about. Like, let's say the second or third email or whatever, like what's it about?
It's like unshame your client. Like talk to them about something that they feel like they're being held back, and you need to talk to them in a way that makes them not feel ashamed of what they're doing. Give gotcha. Them this excuse by saying you're tolerating this and you shouldn't.
Okay. So somewhere within the, and I assume some of that is addressed in the course. Like I assume the emails are designed to align with some of the yeah. course yeah. content.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So totally. you're talking about that, and somewhere in that copy about the sort of shame piece, right? You could even have like a parentheses and go, when I was creating the course, one of the things I realized was this is one of the most difficult things for people to do. Which is why I spent, you know, a chapter, a segment, a video, or whatever, of yeah. course, addressing it. And that's it. No sell.
Got it. Okay.
Just a reference.
Got
it's
it.
Going to do a couple things. Number one, now every one of these emails is making them aware there's a course without like a hard pitch, right? Oh, this is in the course too. This is in the course too. You're stacking interest.
Okay.
The other thing it's going to do is you're going to be able to see who clicks it.
Yeah.
So you're going to be able to see, just like I was talking about before, that click data is going to show you who's at least interested enough yeah. to go see what that course is.
Okay.
Right. And so yeah. you may potentially, again, this sort of goes down the road as you see what happens, but you may want say, you know what, when people get out of this 10 email sequence or whatever, if they didn't opt in, but they click that course thing, I'm going to send them a separate standalone, what I know they looked at the page, right?
Yeah.
And maybe you're going to send them, maybe that's a sort of way to get them into it. Or maybe it's a, hey, you know, I noticed you didn't opt in for it. I'm just curious, what about it didn't seem like a good fit? So that, if you don't do that, you have no idea until the end yeah. of the 10, it's an all or nothing. Hey, here's a course.
Yeah. Dinner. It makes a lot of sense also to kind of warm them up to that transition to the sales mm-hmm. sequence. Here's a little problem that I'd love you to help me solve.
Yeah.
So the sales sequence is on a 2-week deadline timer and mm-hmm. a countdown timer. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if it's possible, like if someone clicks the link to the course, I suppose I could set up a sequence where I send them an email and say, hey, I'm giving you early access to this. I'm offering it to everyone at the end of this season. But since you clipped, I want to offer you the, because I'm offering it at a drastically reduced price only for this time. This is like a
But the problem is that's not true.
No, it is true.
But everyone's on a different time frame.
Yeah, but it is individual. It goes away. They never will see that sales page again.
Okay.
I want to be in it. I'm in integrity about it. Like I'm not.
Right. So it's true. It's true for that.
Yes. Yeah. Gotcha. So I could give somebody who clicks on one of the links to the course the early 2 weeks. I mean, it'll be 2 weeks.
Right. Let me ask you a question. Why, if someone goes through 2 weeks of these emails and then opts in to learn more of the course, why do you think they need 2 weeks more of emails to decide whether or not to buy?
I guess I was thinking that was pretty short. Like, and all partly because I'm offering it like $200 off. It's
what, like a $500 product or something?
It's $597 going for $397.
So let me ask you a question. You joined my skill sessions recently, I think for $350, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Had you been a subscriber to my newsletter for a long time?
Yeah. I mean, not a long, long time, but yeah, not that long. Yeah.
You didn't get any sequence outside of that?
No.
What did it take to get you to join this for $350?
Probably consuming your podcast and seeing your email, your newsletter. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but it didn't. The endless content that you are. I want to have this be an evergreen.
Right. But so what? Right. No, I, which totally makes sense. What I'm saying is I don't know that you need as much as you think you need.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you need endless content. I'm sort of saying the opposite.
Yeah.
Like what I'm saying is I don't know that even a simplified version, right? Like even like, does the person, so a person goes through your 2 weeks of emails. They opt in because they're interested in the course. Is there a difference between them getting a week of emails versus 2 weeks of sales emails? I don't necessarily think so. I think if they're going to buy, they're going to buy that extra week. Again, you can experiment and test this. My guess is that extra week is not going to lead to more sales. Yeah. What I would consider if I were you, just as a thought exercise, you don't necessarily have to do this, but I would look at it and I would go, what is the absolute simplest version of this? What is the shortest, quickest? Because it's a high-end product, but it's not crazy high-end, right?
Yeah.
And a person has gone through also adding in the references in those first 10 emails. So they've now for 10 emails, basically heard at least in some level about the course.
Yeah.
They've opted in to learn more. They've gone through another few emails. At some point, they're not going to buy. Like, I just think again, it's not the end of the world, but you don't necessarily need as much as you need. And I think that in some cases, again, this is easy to test because you can set it up and run it for a while and then go, well, let me see what happens if I shrink my sequences.
Yeah.
I think in some ways, at a certain point, it starts working against you.
Like too selly. Yeah.
And just sort of too long, right? Like if they're interested, like what I would rather almost do if I were you is condense the sequence. They opt in to buy. They get maybe three more emails. Right. So they say,
wait a minute, Claire, I want to clarify.
They go through the free stuff. They go through the first 10 newsletters, right? Yeah. Each one has some reference, some subtle reference to it, right? So they've heard about it.
Yeah.
You want to learn more? I would position that as like, do you want some free excerpts? Do you want some whatever, right? You want three free excerpts? Yes, I do. They get three emails, each with a free excerpt and a sales message, whatever, right? Yeah. Then you put them on the decision if they're going to buy or not. Then instead of going, then I would set up an automation where maybe 3 months later, you email them back and go, hey, I know you were interested in it.
Yeah.
Have things changed? Maybe your finances have changed. Maybe your business has changed. Just wanted to remind you that this is here for you. Have any questions about it? So I would actually space out. So instead of like, 2 weeks of that sales session, a three email sales sequence, and then a check-in a couple times, 3 months later, 3 months later, whatever. That I think is what I would do just because I don't think there's going to be that much difference between someone who's going to buy after, because after that three sales emails, they've had 13 emails from you.
Right.
I don't know that another 7 or 8 are going to move them across the line. Like if they're not buying at that point, they're probably not a buyer.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm interested to just experiment with this deadline timer, but do you think that's not something?
I don't love it because it feels pressure. I would prefer to do it with a bonus that goes away.
Yeah.
So you're doing it price-based, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And
so I would prefer to do, and you know, I've done some of this, right? Like, okay, if you buy now, you get a free ad in my newsletter or you get a whatever, right? It can work. The principle behind it of you're trying to create urgency, I completely agree with. Like figuring out a way to create some urgency. Yeah. The problem with deadline timer is like, it's sort of, I shouldn't say there's a problem. It's okay. I don't hate it. You just kind of have to see how your audience responds. I also think in general, they would tell you when you're going to do that, 2 weeks is too long. Okay. They would tell you that the timer should be no more than a week, probably. Okay. When I say they, I mean the quote unquote experts, but condensing it because you're saying, oh, there's urgency, but then you're saying, well, there's not that much urgency. Like, get to it later, right? So if you're going to do urgency, do urgency.
Okay. Yeah. And they should know by then, right? It's not.
Yeah.
They don't need a ton more. So
it's a huge difference when you start referencing it in those first 10 emails.
Yeah, totally.
That changes everything because now their awareness level is way up compared to what it was before where you're starting from scratch.
Yeah. So, okay. So maybe I'll offer the really reduced price right away for a week. Mm-hmm. And then I'll follow up in 3 months and say, hey, that, you know, I still have the course. You want $100 off of it. So I'm giving them something else that they can use.
Well, and also finding out when you get people running through this and the ones that don't take it, finding out why they don't take it is really important because you're assuming it's money. It might be something else. It might be that you attracted the wrong people right off the bat, right?
Totally. Yeah.
So I think figuring out why the people didn't buy is going to be as important as figuring out why the people did.
Yeah. And if I write to somebody who didn't buy, what is their motivation for responding and telling me that? How can I incent them to do that?
The majority won't, but you don't need the majority. You need a handful of conversations, right? Yeah. So I think you just reach out. You can say, hey, you know, if there's something, you know, I'll give you a free excerpt or I'll give you whatever. Would you mind, you know, it's sort of case by case, but you don't need that money. Conversations with three people who didn't buy, like actual conversations, will tell you a lot.
Okay, awesome.
Cool.
Okay. Thanks,
Annie.
Josh. Super helpful. Yeah. I'm really glad to be here.
Welcome. I know. I'm happy to have you here. The second jam session excerpt I have for you today addresses one of the most common questions I get from newsletter creators. Skill Sessions member Alexander Simmons wanted to know how to get more value out of his newsletter archives, especially with his new subscribers who had previously missed all those issues. Here's what I suggested.
I'm actually on my 152nd newsletter.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And there was a period of time over almost about 100 of them had been through ConvertKit, through the email sequence, right? Mm-hmm. So just whenever people signed in, they got whatever the next email that was coming out. Oh, no, I'm sorry. They went back to the beginning.
They start at the beginning, yeah.
Right. So I was eventually told that's not a good way to go. So I switched to doing broadcasts, right? Mm-hmm. So now I'm sending them out every week. And I remember one of your videos, you were talking about a welcome sequence, an email welcome sequence, three letters. And I'm just really trying to get an idea of how to plug that in so that anybody who signs up for my newsletter now gets this email sequence, this welcoming sequence first, and then, you know, comes in wherever the newsletter picks up at that point. It's just something about that seems a little awkward to me, so I thought I would ask.
Technically awkward or conceptually awkward? Like technically, how do you do it? Or you just mean conceptually?
Well, I think it's a little of both. I mean, technically, I can figure that out. That's not really the big deal. It's really sort of the awkward thing of, okay, if they signed up, let's say today, they would get the three emails. And I think by the time that filtered out, they would have missed Mondays because I send them out on Monday. They would have missed the next email. So that would mean they would go another week before they would get something. That seems kind of like
Here's what I would say. So the video you're talking about, and it's funny because Annie, I was going to recommend you check this out as well. So the most recent episode of my podcast with Brennan Dunn, Emily can drop it in there. He's like an automation segmentation expert, and he actually talks about that's what you're referencing. he talks about how he does this. And what he does that he explains in the episode, which is actually really interesting, and I've thought about doing it. He has essentially, he sends his newsletter, I think, on like Tuesdays or Thursdays or whatever. He sends it twice a week. One of them is essentially greatest hits. The other one is whatever the weekly one is, right? Which is an interesting approach. And by the way, there's no one right or wrong way to do this. But that is sort of a hybrid approach where you could go, oh, I have this sequence that makes sense. You know, I have 100 of these newsletters that if somebody subscribes today, they're never going to see. It would be nice for them to see them. So you could do that, right? You could do something where it's like, okay, instead of a weekly, I'm going to have twice a week, hypothetically. But one of them is going to be sort of greatest hits and one of them is going to be whatever. And you can only give the greatest hits to new people, or you can figure out sort of how you want to do that or set that. As far as the welcome sequence, Brennan talks about this in the episode as well. What he does is he runs them through their welcome sequence and then he starts them on the newsletter after that welcome sequence. So exactly what you sort of described, right? So if I have a newsletter coming out tomorrow and they subscribe today, they're not going to get tomorrow's newsletter until they get through the welcome sequence. And he explains, he messages that, I assume, in his welcome sequence. By the way, probably signing up for his newsletter to see exactly how it works is probably not a bad idea. Emily, if you want to find his, I forget what it's called, but
I'll drop it.
A good newsletter anyway. So there's no right or wrong. The other way you could do it is you could have it run simultaneously, right? Your welcome email could say, hey, you're going to start getting the newsletter tomorrow. Comes out every Saturday or whatever. You're also for the next 3 days going to get 3 welcome emails that are going to sort of give you a tour. So, you know, so you might get 2 emails in the next day or two, whatever, but ultimately you're going to get 1 email at this particular time, right? So that would be another way to do it, have it run concurrently if you wanted to make sure that when people sign up, they get the next one, which I don't think is a bad idea, depending how you promote your newsletter, right? So if you get signups by like promoting on social and going, hey, in my newsletter tomorrow, I'm going to talk about this, and people sign up and then they don't get that, that's weird. If you're not promoting your newsletter that way, then they don't know what they're missing and it sort of doesn't matter as long as you're explaining in the welcome sequence what's happening. You know, welcome to the newsletter. The next 3 days, you're going to get, X, Y, and Z overview. I'm going to show you some of my greatest hits. I'm going to blah, 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 blah. And after that, you're going to get the newsletter. I don't think there's a right or wrong way. I think it's just sort of getting clear on how you're
experimenting, seeing which one works. Yeah. Okay.
But I don't know that I'm going to necessarily do it, but I have I've done 400 newsletters, weeklies, not even counting the dailies. So his idea of that's a lot of stuff that people who subscribe have never seen. And what he does, he goes a step further. He runs this software. He created this software called Write Message. So what he does is even a level further. When people subscribe, they indicate which of these things they're most interested in, and the greatest hit sequence they're getting is tied to that. It's really smart. Yeah. So I could see potentially trying that at some point myself, but I'm not there yet. But yeah, that
neither
episode's
am I.
Good. You'll find it helpful. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Okay, right, well, thanks. That answers that question for me. Thank you. Yeah. There's little things that I'll play with, but yeah, that gives me some direction to go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Cool. Great, you're welcome. Skill Sessions member Jenny was thinking about reducing the frequency of her weekly newsletter because of the workload involved in creating it. Well, she was thinking about doing that until I told her this.
We're going to go to Jenny, who has a weekly 2-year-old newsletter, and she wants to change it to fortnightly to take the pressure off. Obviously, weekly is better than fortnightly, but to keep top of mind. If I'm still consistent, do you think this would be a detrimental move?
Yes, super common question. I also love that you use the term fortnightly. Really simple answer here. It's okay to go every other week if you want. You are correct. It's better to go weekly. But what I'm going to say to you, I did check out Jenny's newsletter quickly, and they're essentially essays. You could stay weekly and have a short, like micro short version 1 week, and then your full essay the next week. You don't have to have a full essay every week. So you can kind of split the difference. So you might go, I'm going to be in their inbox once a week, but some weeks it's going to be, hey, here's an amazing thing I found that you should check out. That's literally, you know, I have a daily newsletter that's really short and a Sunday newsletter that's longer. I would not have a daily newsletter that's as long as my Sunday newsletter. That would be too much, right? So I think you can have the best of both worlds where you can have, you can stay weekly, but just have every other week be a super short newsletter that doesn't take much time for you to do, but is still valuable. If you don't want to do that, it's certainly not the end of the world to go every other week. Like that's not going to ruin you or anything like that. I think it's fine. In our last excerpt today, Skill Sessions member Mayawa wanted to know how to create a newsletter that will attract an audience of people eager to buy her course bundles product. Here's what I told her. What it sounded to me is you're basically building AppSumo for courses. AppSumo, for anyone doesn't know, is basically deals on sort of bundled software and that kind of thing. So I would definitely study the way AppSumo does stuff. The other thing is I would absolutely, in terms of audience and traffic, start a newsletter. If all the courses you're selling are along the same type of topic, so they're all about, you know, business or whatever, then the newsletter should reflect that and attract those people. The other thing is, in terms of what the newsletter could be, it could be actually curated resources from you, but also from people whose courses you sell and or guest written by them, which is sort of interesting. There's a nice alignment there. So if the idea is that you're selling these bundles of other people's courses, why not have a newsletter that's offering, you know, that's linking to content and free stuff from the people whose courses you sell? So those are some things that you might want to think about. Feel free to follow up with me in email if you have questions about that. That's a wrap for this week's episode of I Want to Know. What you heard is the tip of the iceberg of what goes on in my skill sessions. So if you'd like to check them out, just go to joshspector.com/sessions to learn more. If you have any questions, you're also welcome to email me at josh@joshspector.com. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you soon with another episode of I Want to Know.